From Spark and Anvil and Fraction Forge, this is Times, in Chapter 1 of the Fraction Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
Times made shadows cross, and she had built her whole life around the small miracle of where they met. In a sun-warmed corner of the Fair Share Village Academy, she kept two long strips of colored glass, one red, one blue, and a patch of bare white floor to lay them on. She was a quick, bright-eyed lizard, narrow and exact, and she spent her afternoons sliding one strip across another and studying the place where they crossed, as though the answer to some old question might be hiding there. A young toad named Bo had wandered in to watch, and Times, who never minded an audience, set the blue strip down so that it covered exactly one-third of the floor patch. Then she laid the red strip across it the other way, sideways, until the red covered one half of the patch in its own direction. Where the two strips overlapped, the light deepened into a dense, secret purple, a small rectangle, far smaller than either strip that had made it. "That purple piece," Times said, touching its edge, "is one half of one third. And would you like to know what it actually comes to?" She traced the little rectangle with one claw. 1/6. Half of a third is a sixth. No more, no less. Bo's brow furrowed. "But it got smaller. You laid one thing across another. You multiplied, and the answer is tinier than either piece you started with. Things are supposed to get bigger when you multiply." Times grinned, delighted, the way she always was when somebody arrived at exactly the right objection. "That," she said, "is the surprise that ambushed me when I was your age. Sit down and let me tell you how I worked it out, because I promise you, it was not obvious."
When Times was small, the surprise found her first, and it gnawed at her for a solid week before it let go. She had been helping her uncle in his greenhouse, a glass-walled place where seedlings grew under sheets of colored cloth that turned the light to syrup. He pointed her toward a wooden tray that was already only about a third full of sprouts. "Take half of that tray," he told her, "and carry it across to the bench." Little Time scooped up half of the third full tray, carried the small green handful across, and then stopped dead, holding it, genuinely confused. "This is hardly anything," she said. "It's nowhere near half a tray, but you said half. Half is meant to be a lot." Her uncle knelt down to her level. "Half of what, though? That's the question you skipped. Half of a whole tray would be a generous heap, but you didn't take half of a whole. You took half of a third. You took a part of a part. And a part of a small thing can only ever be a smaller thing still." Times stared down at the little clutch of sprouts in her hands. Half of a whole would have filled both arms. Half of a third barely filled one palm. The word multiply had meant more to her for as long as she could remember. It was practically the definition. Yet here it sat in her hands, quietly, undeniably, meaning less. "Part of a part," she whispered, and the phrase made her feel dizzy and thrilled at the same time, the way a true idea sometimes does. That afternoon, she went home and laid two paper strips across each other on the kitchen floor, just to watch the overlap shrink, and she found she never quite got tired of doing it.
Years later, Times arrived at the academy with her two glass strips wrapped carefully in a square of cloth and very little else to her name. Slice, the old tortoise who ran the place, looked her over and set her a problem without preamble. "What is 2/3 of 3/4? He asked. "No memorized tricks. Show me the thing itself." Times did not reach for a pencil. She knelt, unrolled her cloth, and laid the first strip across the white floor patch until it covered 3/4 of it. Then she turned the second strip sideways and laid it across the first, the other way, until it covered 2/3 of the patch in its own direction. Where the two strips crossed, a block of doubled color appeared, and the crossing lines had quietly diced the whole patch into a neat grid. "The strips have cut the patch into 12ths now," she said, counting under her breath. 4 columns one way, 3 rows the other, 12 little squares in all. And the overlap, the part both strips agree on, covers 6 of those 12ths. She looked up. 6/12, which is only another name for one half.
Slice raised a single ancient eyebrow. He had taught multiplication by the rule, top times top, bottom times bottom, for the better part of 60 years, and the rule was perfectly good. But he had never once watched a student lay the answer out in light before and see it arrive on its own. The rule still holds, of course. Times added quickly, as if worried he might think she scorned it. 2 times 3 is 6. 4 times 3 is 12. 6 twelves. I'm not throwing it away. I simply prefer to see the thing happen. The overlap doesn't lie, and it doesn't ask me to take anything on faith. You may stay, Slice said.
In her sunny corner, some weeks on, Times met a grumpy beetle named Cricket, who marched in and slapped a worksheet down on the floor as though it had personally insulted him. Multiplying fractions is broken, Cricket announced, and I can prove it. I did 1/2 times 1/4, and the answer came out as 1/8. 1/8 is smaller than both of them. Multiplication is supposed to make things bigger. Everyone knows that, so the whole method must be wrong.
The method is fine, Times said gently. It's the word that's been tricking you. And honestly, it's an easy trap to fall into. Watch. She laid down a strip covering 1/4 of the patch, then crossed it with a strip covering 1/2 the other way, and the overlap settled into a tiny, modest rectangle. 1/2 of 1/4. You aren't stacking two things on top of each other to build something taller. You're reaching into a piece and taking a part of it, and a part is always smaller than the hole you reached into. Cricket squinted at the little overlap for a long moment. So times here really means of. That is the entire secret, Times said. When you multiply by a fraction, times means of. 1/2 times 1/4 is just 1/2 of 1/4, and 1/2 of something already small is bound to be smaller still. Then she did a thing that made Cricket's antenna twitch. She picked up the two strips and swapped them, laid the 1/4 where the 1/2 had been and the 1/2 where the 1/4 had been, crossing them again. The overlapping rectangle was exactly, precisely the same size as before. 1/2 of 1/4 or 1/4 of 1/2, Times said. Two different sentences, two different orders, and the very same answer. 1/8, whichever way round you say it. The order you cross the strips in never changes the overlap they make. Cricket stared, his complaint quietly evaporating. Two whole different sentences, he said slowly. And one little purple square. One little purple square, Times agreed, thoroughly pleased with him.
When the sun finally slid off her corner of the floor and the colored strips went dark and ordinary, Times wrapped them back in their cloth for the night. She thought, as she often did at this hour, about her uncle's greenhouse, the tiny handful of sprouts, 1/2 of 1/3, the word multiply turning soft and small and strange in her young hands. She had been so certain, back then, that multiplying could only ever mean more. It had taken a single pair of crossed shadows to teach her that taking a part of a part means less, and this was the part that still moved her, that the shrinking wasn't a mistake or a flaw in the rules. It was the whole quiet point of the thing. Bo the Toad, still loyally there at closing time, asked one last question. Times, when I'm on my own and there's nobody to lay strips for me, how will I remember that multiplying can make it smaller? Times smiled and lifted her two strips into the last of the light, crossing them slowly so that the overlap dwindled to a thin, bright sliver between her hands. You won't have to remember a rule, she said. Just remember the little word of. 1/2 of 1/3. A part of a part. A part is always smaller than the thing you took it from. And if you ever forget, the overlap will be right there, telling you the truth in plain light. Bo nodded, watching the small crossed shadow narrow to almost nothing, and set off home through the dusk, thinking about all the parts of parts there must be in the world, each one smaller than the last, each one resting exactly where it ought to be.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to times. Released under Creative Commons BY NC SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Danville for the full transcript.